This is Jerry Webb with Best Sermon Ever. Welcome to today's episode of Best Sermon Ever. Our conversation today is about the handling of the scripture text of your sermon. Most of us have heard poor reading of the Bible. Words are mispronounced, long pauses, one gets off track, tries to get together again. There are often throwaway vocalizations of us and us, and I've heard them in my podcast as I've started listening to what I record for you. Sometimes it's too sing-songy, with voice inflections overdone or on the wrong words. In recent years, more attention is being given to training pastors and readers to present the text well. The public reading of Scripture deserves our best attention. Today, you're going to hear from three voices as they read their sermon text. The first is Danielle Strickland. She's been best known for establishing justice apartments with the Salvation Army, where she and her husband have been long-term members and leaders. Recently, she's launched her own ministry of speaking, writing, podcasting, and launching anti-trafficking initiatives. Maybe you've heard her at the Leadership Summit or one of the other large venues. She's speaking all over. The second one is Dr. Jeff Freymeyer. He'll be featured in our next episode in an in-depth conversation on the public reading of Scripture. And finally, you'll hear from Ted Seeley. Ted will be reading Nehemiah chapter 2. Ted was host for the old radio program called The Chapel of the Air. Hasn't been on for a long time, but I have an old recording that is on cassette tape. It's a little wobbly because of its age, but I thought it was still good enough to give you some insight into how sound effects can be used to enhance the reading of the Bible. So let's listen to these three readings without comment between, and then I'll come back and make some other comments about the public reading of Scripture.
So I felt like the Lord wanted me to just remind you of this little story in Acts chapter 10. It's Peter's born-again moment. It's Peter's born-again-again moment. Actually, technically, it's Peter's born again, 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 again moment. And starting at verse 9, it says this. You know this really well. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It's about noon, and he's hungry. But while a meal is being prepared, he falls into a trance, and he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. And a voice said to him, Peter, get up, kill, and eat them. No, Lord, Peter declared, like a good disciple. Never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. And the same vision was repeated three times. And I'm pretty sure it was the second time that the Holy Spirit turned to God the Father and said, see, I told you we should have picked a woman. And the sheet is suddenly, listen, here's step number one to being born again and again and again. You need a God revelation.
It's 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to begin at verse 20. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long? How long? How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And the people? People didn't answer. Didn't answer a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets. Whew. Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire on it. You call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us! Baal, answer us! Baal, answer us! But there was no voice. No one answered. And they limped about the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, now, I got to leave here for a moment, because the RSV, it's a great translation. It just doesn't catch the mocking well enough here. I mean, it says, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he's gone aside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. I love the Living Bible. Anybody got the Living Bible? Living Bible, great paraphrase. Living Bible says, you're going to have to shout louder than that. Perhaps he's on a journey, or maybe he's just sitting on the toilet. I love that translation for some reason. Kind of gets at the biting tone that's there. Elijah mocks them. They cried aloud. They cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was still no voice. No one answered. No one heeded. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no beast with me, but the beast on which I rode. I went out by night by the valley gate, to the jackal's well, and to the dung gate. And I inspected the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. But there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley and inspected the wall. I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. And I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest that were to do the work.
Well, those are great examples of what Clayton Schmidt, in his book titled The Public Reading of Scripture, writes about. The first is liturgical presence. It's the ability to present oneself confidently and unconsciously, and to use one's body appropriately in the reading. The second is the capacity for abandonment, which he describes as the ability to lay aside personal concerns and the awareness of self so that one's full attention, voice, body are available for interpreting the text and the reading. I describe those qualities by borrowing from contemporary culture. If you're a watcher of American Idol or The Voice, you often hear the judges tell contestants that they need to get out of their head. That's stage presence, or for our purposes, liturgical presence. It's the capacity to forget about ourselves and to enter fully into the reading of Scripture. In sports, they call it getting into the zone. You just kind of forget about yourself, and you have a hot night, and you, every basket drops, every hit falls into the gaps. It's being in the zone. Those two ideas work for us to prepare and deliver better messages as we prepare and deliver the Scripture in a way that draws people in. So thanks for listening today. I hope that you've found just listening to these examples of public reading of Scripture to be helpful in inspiring you to better handle the Word of God. I've put two video links in the show notes that you might want to watch that deal with this topic. One is from the Bible Project. The other is Christine Parton Burkett of Duke Divinity School talking about the public reading of Scripture. Hey, if you're enjoying the podcast, would you please rate it and review it on whatever platform you're listening to? We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Those ratings and reviews really help us to get the word out. And I thank you in advance for doing that. Until next time, remember that whatever the quality of your preaching, you can always improve. Let's work together to deliver your best sermon ever really soon.